You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm. This is our 25th episode, which is pretty cool. We're a quarter of the way to 100. And then later on in today's show, I'm going to be joined by Chris Barnwell from At the Hive, Hardwood Paroxysm, The Friendly Bounce, and a couple other places. But first, we're going to look through a couple Cavs-related news things. And just to let you guys know, this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell any tickets that you may have for a concert or a sporting event. So look at the Cavs. On Wednesday, they decided not to waive Mo Williams. Mo Williams obviously has been talking about maybe retiring lately. It's come out through reports from Joe Varden of Cleveland.com that the Cavs, that Williams was considering retirement, that he was ready to retire as a champ and all that. So, you know, that's not the most surprising thing in the world, that he was going to do that. For me, I'm a little bit surprised that they did not stretch him. Now, I know that there is a potential hole at backup point guard for the Cavs. I know that there are some issues at that position. But if Williams is going to retire, they could have saved some pretty decent money on just waiving Williams. It's not 100% sure what the tax would have been, but it's going to be two or three times what they're going to pay him no matter what now. $2.2 million times three may not sound like a ton, but for a guy who's not going to play for you and a team that is already going to be paying a huge luxury tax bill, that's not great. You want to get out of that. You want to be cost-effective as possible. But I think this says a couple things. One, it makes it seem like maybe this isn't as likely as we're thinking. If Williams was going to retire, you think they would have maybe tried to have him do it before the deadline so they could save the money. But if you don't want this going into training camp, you'd rather know now and you can go make a move to go get someone or just save the money. So maybe Williams is going to come back. His knees are an issue. They were a mega issue last year, but you'd hope that they would get better. You hope that maybe in a relatively small role, it won't be that big of a deal, but we'll see. But I think the second thing is that they are maybe not 100% comfortable with Kay Felder as their backup point guard just yet. I know it's early. I know that Kay has only played in summer league, and I know that they invested a lot in him. But I get the sense that if they were very comfortable just going into the season with him as their backup point guard, they would have maybe just stretched Mo. They maybe would have just moved on from Mo Williams and got into the next era of Cavs basketball at backup point guard behind Kyrie Irving. So we'll see how this develops. It's not by any means done yet. Something could happen this weekend. Something could happen in a couple weeks. But training camp's not that far away. We're about a month away from camp really opening, from the season really getting going, at least preseason, and something's going to happen between now and then. And remember, J.R. Smith is still unsigned, so a lot that could go kind of happen for the Cavs here. You have Mo, you have J.R., you have what they do with Kay Felder. You have some different just kind of things going on that are sort of interesting. Another news, Corey Jefferson, who played on the Cavs Summer League team, has signed a training camp deal, according to reports from David Pick and Joe Varden. Varden reports that it's close. Pick made it seem like it's already done. Jefferson, just as a point of reference, is not a guy I would expect to be on the team opening night. He's an okay player. He has NBA skills, but he doesn't really fit what the Cavs need. He's not a wing. He doesn't hit really a lot of threes. So I would just expect him to be a training camp body to play some preseason minutes, be a showcase for him while Kevin Love and other guys don't have to play as much. And then maybe he's on the charge once training camp is over and he gets cut. Not much there. Eric Moreland, another guy they've been linked to, is another guy that can maybe play in Canton, but I would not count on either of them being on the roster opening night. And to kind of round this out before we move on to today's guest, Kay Felder was in the news for being involved in the NBA rookie poll. He received a lot more votes than I would have expected. He's third overall and biggest steal in this year's draft, fourth and most athletic, tied fifth for best defender, fifth and best playmaker, and also received some votes for being one of the funniest rookies in the class. What stands out, though, obviously, that you have a lot of guys thinking he's a steal and that they have a value and see value in him as a player, so that's kind of cool. It doesn't always mean anything. I mean, last year, Jahlil Okafor was the runaway winner for best career and, I believe, rookie of the year. And no offense to Jahlil, but he didn't think he was like to have the best year. And if anyone's super optimistic about his future at this point and their name is not Jahlil Okafor, I'd be a little bit concerned about where they're at. Okafor's got skills, but he just doesn't quite fit in this NBA. And again, rookies do not always get this right. There's no guarantee they're going to get this right. But if you're the Cavs, there is some validation in the fact that you know that other guys and know how talented Kate Felder is, that they know that he potentially could be something big. And look, to bring this full circle, if Mo Williams does retire, there is a very, very good chance that Kay Felder on opening night is the backup point guard for the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers. That isn't something that, I don't know if it's ideal, I don't know if it's what the Cavs really want just yet. We haven't heard from them, we haven't really gotten any elongated comments on what Kay Felder is or Mo Williams, but we'll have to see. Kay Felder is very much a possibility, again, to be the Cavaliers' backup point guard on opening night. And we'll have to see how it goes. But just a few news and notes. Just as a reminder, you can submit questions for our Monday mailbag on Twitter at LockedOnCavs and to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. We're still going to have a mailbag show that will go up on Monday, even though Monday will be Labor Day. I just want to make sure you guys keep getting the content you deserve as listeners. And I just want to thank you again for listening. Just again, if you do like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. It really helps other people find the show. And if you guys even wanted to say hi, shoot me an email at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And before we move on to today's guest, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from today's sponsor, which again is SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell tickets on your phone. Now we're going to take a second to hear from our sponsor, SeatGeek. And SeatGeek, if you didn't know, is the best way to buy tickets for any concert or sporting event you may want to attend. It's better because it's an easy experience. The ticket is delivered right in the app that you can download on any smartphone. And you can walk right up to the gate with the barcode from the SeatGeek app and get right into the game, get your beer, sit down, and watch your team win. It's really also great to buy tickets on this app. SeatGeek rates every ticket from 1 to 100 to tell you what kind of bang for the buck you're going to get. It tells you, you know, if this ticket in the bottom area is actually a good value, if you're going to pay a fair price for it. And you're going to know what you're getting when you go. You can see exactly where you're going to sit. You can see exactly what you're going to get. And you can also set price alerts if you're planning on going to a couple games or just don't unsure you want to go to something yet. You can set a price alert for events so you can know ahead of time what you might want to pay and what is available out there. I recently just used this feature. My dad and I are looking to get Indians tickets as the Indians are looking to make a playoff run and are looking to get back into the top of the Central Division, and we're just making sure we can see every game we can and are getting the best deal for our tickets. And today, my listeners can get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase using the promo code LOCAVS, which stands for Lockdown Cavs. And on your first purchase, that's $20 off using that promo code. When you use that first ticket, you won't see the rebate. You'll receive it in the mail. You'll get an email from them afterwards. But that's $20 off your first purchase. And it's a great way to save some money to try out SeatGeek and to go see the team or the content you want to support. And again, that promo code is LOCAVS. And make sure to download SeatGeek today. It takes 2 seconds, and I guarantee you will not regret using that app.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're back, and thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring Locked On Cavaliers. And so, as I mentioned on top of the show, we're going to do a little bit of a league pass draft. And before I explain what we're going to do with that, I'm just going to welcome the guests. It's Chris Barnwell from Hardwood Paroxysm, The Friendly Bounce, At The Hive, and a bunch of other places. Chris, how's it going?
Pretty well. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on the show. So what we're going to do today is, as I mentioned, a league pass draft. Now, league pass does not have the same feature you're used to where you could pick five teams and just have those five teams for 82 games. But no one has enough time to literally watch every team all the time. It is literally impossible. unless you're, you know, just unless you're lucky enough to be able to be Zach Lowe or Mike Prada and just watch basketball all the time. And like,
Mike is absurd.
I know, it's like unbelievable. Like, he was
that guy watches like over 100 games in like the first 3 months of the season.
Yeah, like this is like a tangent real quick that we'll get back on track, but he did the Limited Upside podcast with Adam Mares from Denver Stiffs, and he's like, I watched 25 Nuggets game last year. And Mike is a Wizards fan. Like, that's crazy. Like, to watch the Nuggets 25 times. Like, I watched them like 10 times because I keep track, and I thought that was a lot. So props to Mike. Mike's the best. But I'm copying this idea for the show from the Fred Katz, who hosts Locked on Thunder and covers the Thunder for the Norman Transcript. So shout out to Fred for this idea. And it's August, so, you know, why not? But so what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. We're each going to pick five teams that we would pick as our league pass staples. Chris is going to go first as the guest, but it can be for any criteria you want. It can be broadcast teams. It can be how many times a team is on national television. If the team's just really good and you want to watch them a lot. There's a chance I'll say that you may not hear the Cavs on there because they're going to be on national TV the second most times in the league. I believe it's 34 times. So if you don't hear them on league pass, trust me, I can't speak for Chris necessarily, but I will be watching probably 82 Cavaliers games next year. Just fear the sword and Cleveland boy. So, Chris,
why would you do that?
Yeah, I know. Why would I do that? Why would I watch the team that I primarily cover? But Chris, let's kick things off. Who is your top pick in our league pass draft?
All right. Well, this one feels like a little too easy, but I'm just gonna have to go with the Minnesota Timberwolves because
they're number one on my big board. So.
Right, it feels like it's just too easy to pick them. Like, they have all that young talent. They have a budding superstar in Karl Anthony Towns. They have Andrew Wiggins. They have Zach LaVine's dunks. They got Rubio. They got a new coach. Like, there's a lot of excitement there. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. They're on national TV a decent amount of times, but not too much to where you won't feel sick of them. So, like, I just feel like they're going to be a really good league pass team. You know, that team where it's around 8 o'clock, the 7 o'clock games are boring, or maybe even 9 o'clock, and, like, they're in a close contest at the end. They'll be a good team to switch to.
Yeah, I think any team with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins has my attention. Because I obviously, Kat's a star. He's going to be, you know, a top 10, 15 player, like, very shortly. And I really, really like Wiggins. I'm currently working on something longer about him and what he means for the Wolves heading into his third year. And just, he isn't always great, but when he manipulates the space on defense and he just nabs passes, I love watching Wiggins. They have LaVine. I love Ricky Rubio. They got Chris Dunn. That's a great pick. They were number one on my board, and it was close for the team I'm going to pick now, but yeah.
They're not going to win, like, a ton of games. Like, that's one thing that I've kind of seen. I've seen a lot of people have been saying that they're a potential playoff team. I don't think they're a playoff team, but just they're going to be entertaining to watch, and they're going to be a team that you don't get to see as much. But I still don't think they're, like, a playoff team yet. They're going to lose a lot of games. Also, we need to mention that broadcast team they have is fantastic.
Yes, that
they have, yeah. Arguably the best.
They do. And I'll just say this as a quick caveat for my picks. I don't necessarily always pick teams because they're good. I value entertainment, and I value chaos. Just going to throw that out there now.
Oh, dude, I think I might know who you're going to pick.
Oh, this not for this pick, but maybe like my fourth pick. We'll get there.
See, what's funny is I think we're thinking around the same area here because I want to pick them too.
It would be good. So my pick, as my first overall pick, is the Utah Jazz. Now, this is a hipster basketball pick right now.
This is a major hipster pick.
Yeah, I am not ahead of the curve by any means on this, but the Jazz are awesome. There's a chance they might be the third best team in the West next year, and I know that's a big leap for them, but I love that roster. I love the coach. I'm excited to see Dante Exum play this year if he's healthy and learning under George Hill. And I just want to say this. I think George Hill is awesome, and I think he makes them a lot better. I cannot wait to see them run out of five of George Hill, Gobert at center, Gordon Hayward, Rodney Hood, and Trey Lyles. Like, I'm all in. Give me the Jazz. Let me watch them. I will probably watch them like 35, 40 times this year.
I know you're a huge George Hill fan because we got in an argument with Justin on one of your podcasts last year about if Kemba Walker was a better player. And we got into a long argument about that. The Jazz are actually kind of low on my team, but it's mainly because I can't stand their broadcast team. Like, they have these moments where they're insufferable to listen to. And also, as entertaining as they are from a they are going to win a lot of games and be competitive standpoint, they have some slugfests, just these god-awful tough games to watch, and they can't, like, they lack a lot of shooting, so they're going to be grinding it out a lot. They're going to be good, they're going to compete, but there are going to be games where it's just like, it's going to be almost unwatchable basketball when they're playing some of those uglier teams.
Two reasons I pick them, and I don't care. Sometimes I do watch, I'm a monster, and I don't always watch the games with the broadcast teams on. I will sometimes literally just, like, throw on, like, some jazz or some, like soft music and just watch a game on mute if the broadcast team is nuts, so I can just watch the game. And two, I love Rodney Hood so much. Like, I think
I love Rodney Hood. He's
like,
great.
He's the only, I don't watch a lot of college basketball, and I remember just wanting the Cavs to get him when I was still, like, a Cavs fan, when he came out, because I was like, this guy's going to be awesome, and it worked out, and I feel vindicated watching Rodney Hood. So, Chris, your second pick. Let's hear it.
All right, so my second pick is going to be the Charlotte Hornets, because, I mean, this is obviously a little biased here, but honestly, in my opinion, they play a very fun brand of basketball. They started shooting a bunch of three-pointers last year. They have a fun color commentator in Stephanie Reddy. They have a very funny play-by-play man, albeit very biased play-by-play man, and Eric Collins, who will yell out the most random obscene things you ever heard of. And Kemba Walker might be the most exciting player in the NBA when it comes to clutchness or when it comes to getting it going, just because he has these absurd moments at the end of games, and he has a nasty crossover. Just, he's a really fun player to watch, and basketball nerds will love Nicholas Batum.
Yes, and I love Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. That's another reason to watch that team, because I love MKG. And I always just hope he can stay healthy and just be what he can be, because he's a special player. His flaws that are, you know, well chronicled.
When he is healthy, there he's Kawhi Leonard level good on the perimeter defensively. Like, he's just that incredible on defense. Probably one of the most underrated defensive players in the NBA, just because of how often he gets hurt and because of how limited he is on offense. Usually that makes people kind of shy away from him, but basketball nerds also will love watching him just from that viewpoint. And also, if you can't stand any of this stuff, you can look at their amazing home white jerseys, their awesome courts, and their amazing teal.
Yeah. I really, really want one of their purple jerseys because they're great. Charlotte's a good pick. They were not in my top seven for my big board, but as I mentioned, I value chaos, and they're not exactly chaotic.
They're a little too consistent. Like, even the one year they had Steve Clifford and they were mediocre, like, they were so consistently mediocre.
Yeah, like, you know what you're getting out of Steve Clifford. You know what you're getting out of that team. And they got Roy Hibbert, right? So you also have the Roy Hibbert reclamation storyline going there. I'm in.
He's going to I'm saying this now, on record. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I've been struggling with this all year, but I'm in on it. Yeah. Roy Hibbert bounce back year is next season.
Yeah, if it's going to happen anywhere, I think it's under Steve Clifford. So hopefully, and Roy was so good a couple years ago. It kind of sucks that the league changed, but it sucks that he just kind of fell off a cliff like that. So my next pick is a team that could descend into chaos pretty quickly. It happened last year because they suffered through a lot of injuries. This year, they're only on national television 14 times. And I'm picking them largely because they have a guy that has a unibrow. I'm picking the New Orleans Pelicans.
That's a good pick.
I'm concerned about them. I'm not as exactly expecting a bounce back as I know some people have been with them. But Anthony Davis is a special, special player. I know that there's this talk now that maybe Cat's a better player than him, or at least better long-term player than him. And I don't really know if that's fair to say after 1 year of Cat and Anthony Davis sort of not being supported by the right type of cast for him. And, you know, I don't really like their center position. You know, you have Omer Asik kind of being a thing and still somehow, and Zinka and, like, all this stuff. But I really like Anthony Davis. I hope Jrue Holiday can be healthy. And I like Alvin Gentry as a coach. So maybe they can turn this into something better than it was last year. I'm not all that convinced, but I think it'll be fascinating to see how it actually turns out.
The Pelicans are a lot more fun from an outsider perspective than they are when you're covering them. There was a short period where I covered the Pelicans and they just drove me up a wall with their decision making and really just how they operate in general. But that said, Anthony Davis alone is worth just checking in on them on League Pass every once in a while. Like, just throw on a Pelicans game. Just throw it on, see what Anthony Davis is doing. If he's going off, stick around. If they're having one of their weird Pelicans nights, just go somewhere else. Like, they're just that worth watching.
Yeah. I think I may have picked them a tad bit high, but I buy in on Anthony Davis. I think
he's, when he has it going, yeah, there's few guys like it.
No, I mean, he's just unbelievable, and he's so long, he's so athletic, and he's just so good. And we definitely have not seen the best Anthony Davis yet. Like, he had a kind of a regressive year last year for a lot of reasons, and it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back this year. So, Chris, your third pick, let's hear it.
All right, let's get weird. This has been my favorite West Coast late game team for years. Despite all the problems they constantly have, I'm consistently watching them. It doesn't matter to me. I just love watching them that much, and I love watching this player on that team that much. I think you know where I'm going with this.
I think I do.
My third pick, I'm taking the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, that was actually not where I thought you were going, but I'm in. I thought for a minute I was thinking maybe until you said player, I was like, maybe he's going with the Suns? But the Kings are good. That is a good pick. The boogie train is real.
I love watching DeMarcus Cousins. Like, there are a few players that can just not give a rat's ass on defense for an entire possession, walk up the court, use up half the shot clock walking up the court, just post up his man, and then immediately, like, score on him. And then every once in a while, like, I mean, motivated DeMarcus Cousins is even better, but every once in a while, he'll go through these zones where he's just like, I'm not going to lose this game because of me. Like, yeah, I will not be the reason they lose, and it is incredible to watch. I watch a lot of Hornets games. Do yourself a favor and watch the Hornets-Kings games from last year. They had some incredible matchups, and Cousins was a big part of that. They were so fun. Those games were so fun. And really, like I said, the Kings have been one of my favorite late-night league pass teams for a while because there aren't very many teams that tip off at 10 o'clock, 10:30 Eastern time. They are always... they're always a storyline, whether that's good or bad. They're always a storyline.
It's mostly bad. Let's be honest. It's mostly bad.
Yes, I mean, there was that one month with Mike Malone. Rest in peace. I really enjoy watching Rudy Gay. I'm the one person that I know that thinks that.
Ian Levy is like, heard you say that, and is like somewhere in Vermont, like shaking, he's like asleep, and he's KD in that commercial where he wakes up. He's like, oh, he's freaking out right now because you said that.
He's like shaking his face. He's like, someone's complimenting Rudy Gay, and I'm very angry about it.
Yeah, he knows. He's like, he's drawing up your 2-week papers, and Scott Rafferty is calling up like, Ian, no, can't fire him. Gotta let him stay. That's a good pick. That's a really, really good pick. I think the other reason it's a good pick is because of Boogie. I think Boogie watches on. Like, I know there's always been talk about him being traded over the past couple of years, but I feel like if it's gonna happen for like a good value for the Kings, it has to be this year, because he has 2 years left on his deal, and you want to get, if you're a team, you probably want to get him before he goes, he's in a walk year. So, you know, if things go bad really quick, ayo, Boogie Cousins on the market, and maybe we'll see him in somewhere. But that's also just not as fun as Boogie getting really annoyed with whoever his coach is and, like, pouting and doing other things after he, like, dunks on people. Like, I will never, the first time I ever watched Boogie and was amazed, it was when Noah was still pretty good, and he just, like, bodied Taj and Noah on the same play, and I was like, I'm in on Boogie.
He does these incredible things where it's just like, I wish he was on a motivated or good team, because it's like, he's so insanely, like, I can't even put into words just what he can do with a basketball. Like, yeah, it's not fair. And like I said, a big advantage to the Kings is that they are one of those late night teams, those teams that play really, really late. Like, the Warriors are on national TV all the time, and before possibly this season, the Lakers were unwatchable, which made them one of the more entertaining mediocre teams out there.
Yeah, that's a really good Kings pick. They were on my list, and we were definitely on the same page there. Wouldn't have taken them early, but that's a good pick. So my next pick is probably my most practical pick. I will say that they are not overly chaotic. They're a team that I think could really push the Cavs, and they played the Cavs in the playoffs. It's the Detroit Pistons. I like Detroit. I don't love Reggie Jackson, but I think he is a decent point guard. I love Stanley Johnson. I like KCP. I like Andre Drummond. I like what Stan Van Gundy's doing, and I like a lot of the players they have. And I think it's a team in the East that's on the rise. And I know when we talk about teams in the East that are on the up and up, we talk a little bit about Charlotte. We talk about Boston. We talk about Milwaukee because they have Giannis, they have Jabari and everything. But I look at Detroit, and I see they have Drummond. They have guys that are really willing to go at LeBron and challenge him in that way. And they have a point guard who can attack Kyrie Irving for, and even if he's not perfect, Reggie Jackson's pretty solid. I'm in on the Pistons. I want to see if they can improve a little bit this year, and I want to see where Stanley Johnson and KCP go. But I'm pretty in on the Pistons.
There was never anything wrong with picking a Stan Van Gundy team. He just plays a really fun brand of basketball. Andre Drummond's a budding player. I mean, he might get better. There's some questions about him that I think are legitimate, but even then, he's still going to at least put in highlight real plays. He'll dunk a lot, and wow, it just started coming down rating. I don't know if you can hear that. Reggie Jackson in the pick and roll with Andre Drummond is entertaining enough. Like, he looked like an all-star caliber player at times, right, with that last year. And like you said about Stanley Johnson, like, he's a sophomore this year, and I've liked him ever since I saw him at Summer League. He just plays a energetic, fun defensive style, and he's super competitive.
Yeah. I think they're a team in the East that maybe could be a 5 seed this year. I think they're good. I'm excited about where they're going. And
they're
going
to be good. They're making the playoffs. I'm almost guaranteeing that.
Yeah, it's like out of all I like the Raptors and I like the Hawks and everything, and I don't want to like shade those teams right now, but I was so impressed by the Pistons out of who the Cavs played in the playoffs last year. That was a team I was like, man, I came away really impressed because they really took the Cavs to these interesting places even though they got swept, so I'm all in on that. Chris.
Yeah, that was one of those weird. I got into a lot of arguments with Cavs fans last year because I was. I was one of the people very adamant about that they were just this inconsistent mess all year long, and then finally they just like flipped the switch in Atlanta and looked like that title contender we all expected them to be. And a lot of people said that I wasn't giving Detroit enough credit, and while I might have not been, I always felt that Cleveland was just so much better than them, it shouldn't have mattered. But you are correct that the way they played Cleveland just kind of shows how great a coach Stan Van Gundy is. Like, he can match up against anyone and give you a run for your money, no matter who you are, and give that team a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, look at how Stanley Johnson was just, like, in LeBron's grill. It wasn't smart, but it was, like, entertaining, and you got to give a rook credit for kind of going out and doing that. It's like, you know, good for you, Stanley. It didn't work out well, because LeBron is LeBron, but hey. You know, good, nice pat on the back. In a couple of years, you may be challenging the Cavs to maybe beat them in the East. Chris, who is your next pick?
My next pick is I'm gonna go with the Miami Heat.
Really? Yeah, I'm. There are teams I'm not excited to watch this year. The Heat are like top three teams I do not want to watch at all.
Like, this is probably a personal thing. I'm just fascinated by them. I'm really fascinated by like how much like how things are gonna go with them. I'm not sure if they're gonna like they don't Hassan Whiteside, Chris Bosh, Goran Dragic, like they don't have Wade anymore. I'm really interested to see if like Spoelstra can keep this all together. I think that Whiteside can be a fun player. I do enjoy watching Dragic. And Bosh is honestly one of my favorite players in the NBA. So
if Bosh is good to go, I am more in on them. And I'm also here for the Deion Waiters experience always.
Oh my god, I forgot he was there.
Like that, I will watch any Deion team ever. Like I love Deion, but I mean I literally own a Waiters Island T-shirt. It's real out here. But
I should also say I'm mainly picking teams that are I'm. When I look at my League Pass teams, I'm picking a lot of teams that are going to be not on national TV a lot and in that middle area, you know, fighting for the AC, the 60, those areas, because those teams are the most fascinating to me, honestly, because they're usually the most flawed.
Yeah, I just think the Heat might be really bad, and not the bad that I that is, like, interesting because it's growing. It's just, like, bad because everything just kind of went really bad, and Hassan Whiteside is the centerpiece of everything they're doing. So I'm a little bit concerned. But I think if everything breaks right, that could be a nice – they could be fun. And if Deion's scoring 20 points a game, I don't care how he does it. I'm probably going to tune in and watch. I'm here for the Deion Waiters 8-seed Heat versus Kyrie, the 1-seed, and him just, like, talking a bunch of crap. I'm in for that. I'm in for a pro wrestling style – kind of heel turn for.
They need to get Mario Chalmers back there.
Yeah, bring Rio back and, you know, make up some.
Get the most overconfident team that's unnecessary ever.
Yeah, get Nick Young when he gets waived by the Lakers and just let's just go with it. Let's roll.
I'm not sure that he could stand Nick Young, that organization.
Hey, I'm just saying, just go all in on it if you're gonna do it. So yeah, like Deanna might be his limit. Deanna and Hassan Whiteside on the same team might be his limit. So my next pick is another hipster Western Conference pick. It's a team that I literally have written about them. I feel like more times in the past year than I have a lot of other teams that are better. It's because I like their young talent, and I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to work out. But I'm picking the Denver Nuggets.
That was going to be my next one.
I love Jokic. Nurkic, I'm still intrigued by. I like Moutier. I want to see how Gary Harris and Jamal Murray sort of play off each other next year. I'm a Mike Malone fan. And we'll see about Gallo. Hopefully Wilson Chandler's healthy this year. But I think the future's really bright in Denver, and I'm getting it on the ground floor with my Nuggets stock. And I'm also not even going to lie about this. Their blogger crew and then Chris Dempsey, who hosts Locked On Nuggets, the combination when I can read about a team I watch a lot and know I'm going to get really good content from guys like Adam Mayers and Dan Lewis, that honestly helps me.
Yeah, Denver's another one of those fun, interesting teams where they're kind of like the Pelicans, where you're not really sure if they're going to make the playoffs, but you know they're going to at least be entertaining while they're trying to do whatever they do. You can see anywhere from 35 to 45 wins with them. Moutier's entertaining at times. Fareed, when he's not playing deep, Fareed doesn't play defense, but when he's not being a Steve on defense, he's actually fairly entertaining. They're an interesting team. They got more Europeans than any other NBA team except maybe San Antonio. I know I'd have to look at that, but really, I agree with that pick. I like Denver.
Yeah, I'm all in on Denver. I agree with you. I don't know if they're a playoff team this year, but I think they're getting there. And I really like Moody. I know that his rookie year wasn't great, but I chalk up a lot of the problems he had finishing at the rim and with some of his decision making. To being a rookie, and the fact that they had no spacing for him to drive. Like when he drove to the rim, like he's very athletic, but he hasn't hit that peak athleticism yet where he can just burst to the rim and get over guys. And when he was going to the rim, there was always like two or three guys just waiting there for him because Gary Harris was the only shooter teams had to kind of pay attention to, because Gallo wasn't shooting very many threes last year. So I hope he gets better this year, and I want to just see how they grow, because they have two guys that I think could be a foundation of a very good team in Jokic and Moutier.
Also, they do this really funny thing where they have Mike Miller on the team, and he literally will not step on the floor the entire game, and to the point where they will have him inbound the ball in late-game situations, and he won't actually touch the floor. He'll just stand on the sideline and throw it in.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, and you know, then randomly, like, he was at, like, a Cavs playoff game, like, cheering on LeBron and, like, posting on Instagram about, like, rooting on LeBron and Kyrie and stuff. It was great. It was amazing.
Mike Miller's the best.
Mike Miller really is the best.
Former Orlando Magic Rookie of the Year, Mike Miller.
Yeah, that's true. Former Florida Gator, Mike Miller.
Worst draft ever.
Yeah, that was a terrible draft. Chris, who is your fifth pick? Your last pick, too.
Oh, this is getting tough.
I at this point, I have four teams left that I would be comfortable picking.
There are so many NBA teams that I enjoy watching. I'm gonna have to go with the Toronto Raptors. They're not playing on national TV all that much. I actually enjoy Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and they are fairly good. Canada is entertaining. Those home games, they play an interesting style. I find them fascinating. Like, this is, again, most of these picks have been personal picks that no one's actually going to make, but I actually like looking for those teams that just, they kind of fly under the radar. And even though Toronto was the 2 seed last year, like, you didn't see very many people talking about them.
Yeah. I think it's some of it because they're not the most fun team to just watch in terms of aesthetic. DeRozan's not a very fun player to watch. Like, unless he's dunking, he shoots a lot of mid-range jumpers.
I disagree.
Like, I don't mind DeRozan, but, like, he doesn't, like, excite me the way I wish he could. I do really like Kyle Lowry. Like, I'm a big Kyle Lowry fan. I like, you know, the way he approaches the game. I like the way he plays. I like how hard he plays all the time. And I like some of their other guys. I like Damari Carroll. I like Valanciunas. And it's also, you're guaranteed at least, like, four times a year to get a good Drake random thing happening on the sideline. So that's an added bonus, because it's just randomly, you'll be, like, Drake, like, clapping at somebody or, like, giving LeBron a hug, and it's cool. They are not perfect, and I wonder what their ceiling is as an actual playoff team, but in the regular season, they are very good, and I think there's going to be a really interesting scenario next year where Boston is a team that I think people are valuing a lot, and then you have the Cavs, who I think might just not care until April. Like, they might just, like, coast their way to April. And then the Raptors are going to be there sort of like, hey, we're here, we're going to win 50 games, and we're going to put ourselves in a position to have home court until the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be one of those fun late playoff race teams where they're going to have a playoff spot locked, but you know they're going to be racing for that seed to the very end, like, especially if Cleveland's not caring. Like, you could see Toronto making a gun for the one seed.
Yeah. It was close for a little bit this year. I remember Cavs fans were a little bit anxious about that, but ultimately the Cavs got the one seed, and it'll be fun. Them in Boston next year should be, like, a pretty good rumble for the second-best team in the East, in my at least some variation of Toronto and somebody. So we'll get to my last pick, and I'm very ready to hear your reaction for this. I'm just gonna name some of my honorable mention teams that I didn't pick because I'm picking this team. I'm passing on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yay!
I like the Bucks. Giannis forever.
I like the Bucks are fine, but they're massively overrated.
There are some problems, but yeah, I'm passing on the Wizards. I am passing on the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm passing on the Orlando Magic.
Good.
And I'm passing on the Phoenix Suns. My pick. And rest in peace to the homeboy Sam Hinkie. Trust the process, baby. Picking the 76ers. Oh, let's go. Let's freaking go. And here's why.
You cannot criticize the Miami pick when you are picking a team that's going to win 20 games.
Here is the only reason I'm picking the 76ers. They are at this point where they are actually starting to turn everything that they've done over the past 3 years towards something real. I don't know if it's going to manifest itself. I don't know how exactly it's going to turn out, but it's getting real. You have Nerlens heading into a year where he has to prove his value on a contract. You have Ben Simmons, who, despite being the number one pick, is kind of, like, I've heard several people say that, you know, Brandon Ingram's already, like, on the path to be a better player and all that stuff. Like, Ben Simmons' rookie year is going to be fascinating. They have other guys that I like. I'm a believer in Brett Brown. I want to see if they add a veteran at some point. And I don't care if he plays 5 minutes a game. I don't care if he plays 20 minutes a game. If Joel Embiid plays at all, I'm in. I'm here for the Joel Embiid experience. I'm here
for... You want it just for that one game where he plays five... For, like, the first opening game where he plays 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he has, like, 8 blocks. You know, it's just like... I told you I valued chaos, and there is maybe no more team suited for chaos besides maybe the Kings and the Sixers. I just think they're going to be kind of fascinating this year. Like, they were really bad and hard to watch for a couple years. I at least think they're interesting now, and I just want to see exactly where this heads. And it's just, I don't have a good read on it. I don't, because I don't watch a lot of college ball, so I just don't really know exactly what Ben Simmons turns into.
I don't know. My problem with picking bad teams is they're entertaining for that first 2 months. And then you get to March, and you're like, oh my god, they're playing again, and just, I don't care.
Like, well, I also will not watch the Sixers when they're playing, like, a really good team. Like, if they're playing the Warriors, like, I'm probably not going to watch. No. But if they're, like, if they're playing the Kings, if they're playing the Knicks, if they're playing the Heat, if they're playing, like, these teams that aren't exactly at this upper level, I'm in. And I just, Ben Simmons to me is just super, super fascinating because I love his passing. I honestly liked what I saw in Summer League, but it's just going to be interesting to see if they actually can get by with him not being able to shoot that well. I just know. There's just something about that I'm just really, really drawn into. And if they go on like a 5-game winning streak and Joel Embiid tweets another like he died for our sins Instagram post about Sam Hinkie, I'm just going to probably go buy a Ben Franklin dribbling the ball T-shirt and call it a day.
You should own that shirt anyways.
I probably should.
Mentioning one of your honorable mention teams, the Magic, they are on, like, if we were doing a 5 teams that you should not have, like, be watching, they would honestly be on my list. They are going to grind out games. It's going to be horrible to watch. And honestly, I don't know if they're actually that good, as much as I like Frank Vogel.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about them, too. Their redeeming quality to me is that I hope Hazonia can get some run this year. I hope the big situation, like, works itself out in a meaningful way, but, like, I'm concerned. I don't know.
They're at one point going to run a lineup of Elfrid Payton, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, Serge Ibaka, and Bismack Biyombo all at the same time. You know it's going
to
happen.
It's going to be bad, and it's a real bummer that Gordon's not getting to play the 4.
I
For me, at least, it's a major.
He wants to play. That's actually, I'm okay with that because he actually wants to play three. He said before that he wants to play three, which, I mean, if he can showcase that he can play three, then sure, earn your way to three. But he's got to show. Vogel won't accept him like not playing his role if he's not playing well. So, I mean, he might get moved to four if he doesn't show up.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, Chris, was there any team, and obviously the Cavs and the Warriors are exceptions to this because they are going to be national TV so much, and they're just not going to be hard to watch, you know, 35 times if you want to.
Right.
Is there any team that you felt weird about leaving off?
I'm a little weird on Dallas, and I'm a little weird on, where are they? Where'd they go? Indiana.
Indiana is a good team, I think. Like, I'm intrigued to see how they kind of work all that out. Now, I'm not a big believer in the McMillan thing, but I like Paul George. I like Teague. I think Miles Turner and Thad Young is going to be a good front court combo. Al Jefferson off the bench. If they just
Al Jefferson off the bench is fun. I saw that the Hornets ran that last year, and he eats up like weaker centers.
Yeah, like hypothetically, if they're playing Cleveland in the playoffs and the Cavs are running Channing Frye, is he going to struggle to cover Channing Frye? Yes, but like he can probably beat up Channing Frye inside a little bit and maybe make Tyronn Lue consider having to put in Tristan Thompson again or something. Like that's a valuable asset to have.
He made work of Hassan Whiteside. Like Hassan Whiteside had no idea how to guard him.
Yeah, I mean he's still skilled. I know he has his issues and everything, but he's super skilled. The McMillan thing is where I get hesitant about Indiana. They were on my
big board. That's my one problem with them.
Yeah, they were on my big board, and I really believe in Paul George. Like I'm ready for the proper Paul George breakout. Because if you remember the two he had his first breakout year, but he got tired because he wasn't used to playing at that level all the time yet. Then he got hurt, and then he missed that year. And then when last year. It was him working back from the leg injury. I think this is the year maybe he can finally just be consistent all year and be really, really good for 82 games in the playoffs.
And I'm pretty sure certain players like have jumps after the Olympics.
Yeah. If someone's going to get the Olympic bounce, I think it would be him. Like, I don't think it's DeRozan. I don't think Lowry is the guy who would benefit from it. Durant and Kyrie don't need it. Draymond didn't play enough. Boogie didn't really make the impact he could have. I think it's Paul George gets that slight Olympic bounce.
I feel kind of weird leaving Portland off, too.
I just think they're on national TV a bunch, and Evan Turner kind of ruins what I liked about that team a
little bit. Oh, right. I mean, they are on TNT 6 times and ESPN 8 times, so they're going to be on a fair amount. But Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are fun on their own.
Yeah, CJ McCollum, and he also tweeted, can Steph Curry, someone tweeted him, can Steph guard you? And he's like, no. Shout out to McCollum for keeping it real. That was great. I'm all in on everyone just like taking pot shots at the Warriors just because it's funny. And I know everyone's annoyed because Cavs Twitter keeps reminding the world that. By the way, Chris, did you know that the Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit to win the finals? I just want to make sure you caught that.
I'm just gonna remind you that the Cavs lost the finals the year before.
Pat Riley dropped the ring. It's good. I'm pulling my Dan Gilbert right now. But Chris. I just want to thank you for coming on the show. And where can people find you on Twitter? And did I miss any sites in the beginning when I listed off everywhere you're writing these days?
No, you listed all the sites fine. I write basically everywhere. they can find me on Twitter at Chris Barnwall, at CHRISBARNE Wall.
Yeah. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. You can find the podcast on Twitter at LockedOnCavs. If you'd like to submit some mailbag questions for Monday show, drop us a tweet there or email us at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And yes, it is Labor Day. We're still having a mailbag show because I'm just committed to the content. And if you like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. And thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring this podcast today. Again, they're a great app, easy way to get tickets. And again, we'll be back on Monday, even though it's Labor Day. We'll be back with a mailbag podcast. And thanks again to Chris for coming on. And I will talk to you guys again on Labor Day.